ভগবতে বাসুদেবায়, ওম নমো ভগবতে বাসুদেবায়, পরমাশ্চর্যা ভক্তির্মুক্তিশ্চ শাশ্বতী, নিত্যম চ পরমানন্দম ভবেদ গোবিন্দ ভক্তিতঃ। মাই ডিয়ার ওয়াইফ, অ পার্সন হু হ্যাজ সারেন্ডার্ড হিমসেলফ এট দি লোটাস ফিট অফ গোবিন্দ অ্যান্ড হ্যাজ দস ডেভেলপ পিওর কৃষ্ণ কনশিয়াসনেস ক্যান বি ভেরি ইজিলি অ্যাওয়ার্ডেড অল দি পারফেকশন ডিজায়ার্ড বাই দ্য ইম্পার্সোনালিস্ট, and beyond this he can enjoy the happiness achieved by the pure devotees. As it is explained in the Hari Bhakti Suddhodaya, Bhuyopi yache devesha tvayi bhaktir dridastume ya mokshanta chaturvarga phalada sukada lata. My dear Lord, I repeatedly pray unto your lotus feet that I may simply be stronger in devotional service. I simply pray that my Krishna consciousness may be more strong and steady. Because happiness derived out of Krishna consciousness and devotional service is so powerful that with it one can have all the other perfections of religiousness, economic development, sense gratification, and even the attainment of liberation from the material existence. Hare Krishna. So last week we were discussing about how devotional service or happiness in devotional service at the stage of klesha, when all of our kleshas are extinguished, then we start experiencing the bliss of devotional service and one starts realizing that the happiness in devotional service is much higher than the happiness in the material sense gratification. And even the temptation of attaining all the mystic siddhis, it is very powerful. We give many examples. But even those kind of mystic potencies are considered as very insignificant by a devotee. And then the perfection of this mystic siddhi is to attain the status of samadhi. Even that is not taken very seriously by a devotee. He does not consider that to be very important. Why? Because the experience of practicing Krishna consciousness is so high and so wonderful that naturally he develops that intellect. He develops that understanding that why should I aspire for this? And that is the difference between one who has developed that nishtha, experiencing that happiness, he can make it clear distinction. As compared to a practicing devotee, one who does not have that conviction. He falls sometimes to material happiness and sometimes he falls to spiritual happiness. Therefore, Prabhupada would explain, when first time one of his disciples gave up the association of devotees and he left Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada said, don't be surprised one who gives up Krishna consciousness, but be surprised one who stays in Krishna consciousness. Why? Because as long as we don't experience, it is difficult to continue. One has to experience the happiness of devotional service. And at this stage, Rupa Goswami is explaining that when all of our anarthas are destroyed, we discuss that also. Actually, even within kadachit ki bhakti, our acharyas explain, anarthas also have different stages. We say, dismantling of all of our anarthas. First of all, we have to know what anarthas are. And then we come to know what actually anarthas and how deeply they are rooted within our consciousness. Only when you know your enemy, then you can start, working on it. You start fighting against them. Sometime, even anarthas are taken as your strength. One devotee was explaining that one person had these tendencies to think that others are thinking about me. And how did he take it? He took that as that I can read the mind of others. It is my strength. That is not his strength, that is his weakness. That is assuming that, you know, others are feeling this about me. You know, this person thinks about me this way. But how does he take it? He doesn't take it like that. He takes it as that what can I do? This is a gift given by God that I can read the mind of others. No, you don't read the mind of others. Rather, that is your assumption. That is the contamination. That is the anartha. But to make that distinction, this is the anartha. This is not my strength. Itself takes a lot of time. And when we understand that, and when we work on it, then that anartha is destroyed. Then we experience the happiness of Krishna consciousness. We discuss this also. Most of us in the neophyte stage, our miseries are caused because of our assumption. They are not even realistic. So, ananda means that we don't assume anything. We just experience the practice of Krishna consciousness because the practice itself gives the happiness. We discussed the example of smokers. The mere act of smoking itself gives the misery, and in the future misery simply intensifies. Similarly, the process of Krishna consciousness itself gives us happiness. You don't have to wait for the happiness in the future. But the assumption that I am not experiencing happiness itself causes obstruction for us to experience the process. And what comes in the future is that the happiness is simply intensified. So therefore Srila Prabhupada explains that a devotee always prays. He is praying to Krishna that let my conviction in Krishna consciousness may simply increase day by day. And Prabhupada writes, even this is not prayed by a devotee of the Lord. This is Prahlad Maharaj's prayers, which we read the second shloka. But even that is not prayed by the Lord, prayed by the devotee. He is completely happy experiencing devotional service. Next. Go directly to the next slides. Why devotional? So Rupa Goswami explains why Krishna consciousness happiness is supreme. There are two reasons. One is eternal and other is temporary. Very clear that even if there is a material happiness, how long does it last? As long as the object is there, or as long as we live in this world. Only that long. But that same object can be cause of our distress. The object does not provide us eternal happiness and our own facilities to enjoy. What does it do? It weeds away. It gets destroyed. Therefore, it is not permanent. But devotional happiness in whatever condition, it remains as it is. There is no change. There is a steady experience of happiness. That is a big difference. And second, it includes and excels the pleasure found in other types of happiness. Sometimes, you know, some devotees feel that, oh, I'm experiencing happiness in Krishna consciousness. Maybe it is mundane. No, when we are dancing in the kirtan, when we are seeing the beauty of the Lord, the happiness what we derive is not mundane. Because Krishna is involved, and if you are experiencing that happiness, that is devotional happiness. So, therefore, in devotional happiness, all other kind of happiness, just like one likes to eat nice food, Prabhupada writes in Nectar of Instruction. Now, eating outside gives you happiness, but along with also comes karma. A reaction also comes. But when you are practicing Krishna consciousness, you like something to eat. That is material. But when you offer it to Krishna, the happiness which you derive from eating does not remain any more material. That means you got what you wanted through your material senses by eating ordinary food. That happiness you derived, but the reaction is not there.
And secondly, that material happiness has been converted into spiritual happiness without any reaction. This is how devotional service includes happiness what we derive in material world. Again, hearing nice music. Listening to some music is a natural quality in the conditioned soul or also in the liberated soul. But when we hear mundane music, there is a reaction for hearing that music. But when you doubtle that propensity by hearing Krishna's music, the reaction is not there, but the pleasure what you are supposed to derive by hearing mundane music is already there. So devotional service happiness includes what is there in the material world. It is not that it is lost. One time one person asked, Swamiji, what do you do for recreation? Prabhupada said, our process is full of recreation. Other than recreation, we do not do anything else. We chant, we dance, we take Krishna prasad. He said, it is Krishna consciousness is full of recreation. Or sometime one person asked, one devotee only asked, Prabhupada, what if there is no Krishna in the spiritual world? Prabhupada said, still we had better material life. We took nice prasad, we enjoyed nice kirtan, even materially we are more happy than the materialistic people. In the material world there is no happiness, even on the material platform. It is simply imagination and simply agitation. You are agitating your senses, you are becoming mad, nunam pramattam kurute vikarma. So there is, even materially, there is no happiness. In the Mahabharata, when Yudhishthira was asked by Yaksha, what is happiness in this world? That was his question. He asked many questions, and one of the last questions raised by Yaksha was, what is happiness? What is path? What is the news? What is the most wonderful thing? So he said, asked him, what is happiness? So Yudhishthira Maharaj said, happiness means, this is Yudhishthira Maharaj, that you eat food cooked by your own family member. Now 90% of the people don't get to eat what is cooked by the family member. Even if they eat, you know, you have to carry a tiffin, dried chapatis. He said that is one thing. And secondly, Yudhishthira Maharaj said that you don't live your life on loan. See, he is giving a very practical answers. And third answer Yudhishthira Maharaj gave in regards to happiness, that you don't loiter, you don't travel from one place to another place. He said, one who is traveling like that, his lifespan is decreased and he has no shelter and therefore is a miserable person. He said, one who can stay in one place, his workplace is his home, he eats food cooked by his own family members, he does not live on loan. He said, he is the most happiest person. And Yaksha, Dharmaraj accepted that answer. And let us analyze, none of us we have that facilities, especially in this age of Kali. So even materially, we are not happy. But by practicing Krishna consciousness, one can experience these kind of happiness. So therefore, according to Rupa Goswami, it is not only what you get, what is not there in the material world, but we imagine that we will get it. That is attained by practicing devotional service. And secondly, there is no reaction. And most important, it is permanent. It is eternal. And Rupa Goswami quotes Prahlad Maharaj that he is praying that, my dear Lord, let my devotional service keep on increasing. And by increasing my devotional service, the desire for liberation, the desire for all the acquirements of dharma, artha, kama, moksha will be rejected. That is what we are discussing about happiness. And the next, Rupa Goswami talks about moksha laguta krit. Lagu means insignificant. By practicing devotional service, a devotee of the Lord, he realizes how moksha, liberation, which is beyond attaining all kinds of mystic potency. So, you can imagine that even moksha becomes insignificant for a devotee. We have discussed last week. At this stage of sadhana bhakti, sense gratification and liberation becomes inferior to devotional happiness. But at this stage of bhava bhakti and moksha laguta krit is the part of bhava bhakti. Bhava bhakti means there is a spontaneous attraction to perform devotional service. There is no force. There is a natural attraction. I want to perform devotional service. At that stage, the first qualification is that a devotee of the Lord, at that stage he feels that mukti is insignificant. If there is a fight to convince ourselves, oh, this is better or this is better, that means we are not experiencing the bliss of Krishna consciousness. If there is a struggle, many times we raise this question that we experience happiness in sense gratification, that means we actually are not situated in proper devotional service. As long as this question haunts us, as long as we run for material sense gratification, we are not experiencing the pleasure of devotional service. Why? In the stage of pure devotional service, what to speak of material pleasure, even moksha, which is so high, a devotee considered to be insignificant. Moksha laguta krit. Therefore, Prabodhananda Saraswati, one of the great devotees of the Lord, he says, kaivalyam narakayate. Now to make that statement, kaivalyam narakayate, it is not simply a statement. Even in naraka it is explained, when the conditioned soul is sent to hellish planet, even in that condition, he tries to experience some kind of comforts. He is eating stool in the hellish planet, but he makes a discrimination. This is a better stool. Why? Because he doesn't have the experience of higher pleasure. One has to experience pleasure, even if you go. One time one devotee was mentioning, there was a big rock star. He grew in the slums and eventually moved to the one of the top, you know, posh localities of America. But because he was conditioned to live in a poverty-stricken situation in a slum, where he would regularly hear all kinds of abusive words given by, you know, the neighbors, and then you would hear all the time the pots being thrown at each other, drunken person giving all kinds of bad words. So even though he moved to the locality of posh area just to sleep, he had to have a nice stereos type of arrangement in his house, a nice sound effect. Only when he would hear this kind of sound, then he would go to sleep. Why? Because he was conditioned to that. So similarly, a conditioned soul, when he does not experience higher kind of happiness, even in the hellish planet, he creates some kind of happiness. That's what Sukadeva Goswami explains, that he feels, I am most comfortable. But when we start experiencing the bliss of devotional service, what happens? That even moksha, now at this stage, if we are offered moksha, what will happen? Immediately we will accept it. So therefore Prabhupada gives the example of Kolavich Sridhar. Now what was his condition? Misery at every stage. His ceiling, there was no ceiling, there were more holes than the ceiling. Even his cloth was also like that. There were more holes than his cloth. But when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered him, what kind of mukti? He said, I will take you to the spiritual world. Before that he said, I can make you Indra. I can give you all kind of material pleasure. Even the pleasure of the Vaikuntha planet, Sridhar said, no, I do not want it. How can he say like that? Because he is already experiencing the bliss of practicing devotional service. In theory we can understand, but in practice, when the sense gratification is provided, the problem is, because we are not experiencing the bliss of devotional service, we need some kind of bliss. Therefore, naturally we fall to the bliss of material life. Therefore, Prabhupada said, don't be surprised. Why you don't be surprised? Because as long as we don't develop attachment to Krishna, it is natural that we will fall to this. So Rupa Goswami, he stops here about moksha laguta krit in two shlokas. But in the second chapter, where he describes sadhana bhakti, he has quoted so many shlokas in regards to how moksha is insignificant compared to devotional service. So the next quality Rupa Goswami discusses is about the quality of sudurlabha. These are the two qualities of sudurlabha. One is, unless one is attached to Krishna, one cannot attain devotional service. Second, Krishna does not easily deliver perfection in devotional service. Now these two qualities of bhava bhakti stage, we have discussed again, bhakti has many stages. One is sadhana bhakti, just a beginner, and within sadhana bhakti, one has come to the platform of firm conviction nishta. And after that stage, he develops ruchi. That ruchi is called as bhava bhakti. And how do you get that ruchi? First, Rupa Goswami says that unless one is attached to Krishna, one does not develop ruchi. It may appear to be very contradictory. You know, there is no love for Krishna, so how will I become attached to Krishna? It's like a query. That if you don't love Krishna, then you don't get love of Krishna. So what is the use of our sadhana bhakti? And second, Rupa Goswami says, even if you perform sadhana bhakti for many lifetimes, Krishna will not provide what? He does not give you that affection for Him. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kaviraj Goswami explains, Bahu janma kare yadi shravana kirtan tabetan na paaye Krishna pade premadhan. How many lifetime? Not 1 year, 10 years, 15 years. He said, Bahu janma yadi. Even for many lifetimes, if you perform devotional service, Krishna does not provide love for him. Why does he not provide love for himself? Rupa Goswami explains that he can provide mukti. Because you see, giving mukti means Krishna is giving something of his energy. And bhakti means giving himself to his devotee. Who wants to be slave of somebody else? So bhakti means Krishna is becoming slave of his devotees. So why other than his own devotees, Krishna will become slave of somebody who is not his devotee? So mukti means giving something of his. But bhakti means giving himself to his devotees. That Krishna does not provide to anybody except he is a pure devotee of the Lord. And we can't become pure devotees simply by practicing sadhana bhakti. That makes whole situation very troublesome and difficult one. That we are told to do sadhana bhakti, but at the same time we are also told that sadhana bhakti does not give Krishna prem. And even if you do sadhana bhakti, Krishna will not give us. Therefore, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would say that you cannot drag the spiritual realm to your level. Only when Krishna, by his own sweet will, desires to give himself to us, then we can accept it. Just like one time, one man, you know, he was working as a fire person. He used to create fire so that it was special in Europe because it's a too cold country. And then he would be living in the underground, providing a lot of fuel to the fire. And then other people would get a lot of warmth. And then one king of that area would come regularly to this place. He wanted to come and see his subject. And he would be in disguise. And he came underground and every day he would associate with the fire person. He would eat the same food of that fireman. He would talk to him about so many things. But the fireman did not know that he was talking to a king. He was making friendship with the king. And after some time the king decided, let me reveal my identity. But he also had this inhibition, if I reveal my identity, maybe this person will misuse my being a king. But anyway, let me test him. So then the king told, you know what? He said, I am the king of this country. And I every day come to you and I take your food. So when the fireman heard this, because he was associating with king, what did he ask? He said, my dear king, I am so fortunate that you usually give so many things to people in the form of charity. You give them wealth, you give them land, you give so many things. But I am more fortunate than all of these people. Why? Because you are giving yourself to me. That is Sudurlabha. What is it? That one who gives himself to some other person, that means he is giving much more than what he can give, his items, take my money. But he is not giving himself. So similarly, Sudurlabha means Krishna does not give himself to anybody other than if he is his pure devotee. He can give the things. Another story is told that one king had announced that he can offer whatever people want for one day. And there was a big mela, everybody would come there, whatever they want, you know, they would write down their desires. And the king's ministers were providing. But there was one lady standing outside. She did not ask anything from the king, nor from the minister. Everybody was insisting, ask something. The king will give you the wealth, he will give you the land. But she did not ask anything from the ministers. And evening the king came, before the whole event was about to conclude. And he asked the lady, why you are not taking anything? He said, look, you have told that whatever you want, you are going to give. King said, yes, that is my, you know, declaration. So the lady said, you should become my son. He said, I don't want anything, but you should become my son. She was more intelligent. People were simply taking material things from the king. But she said, I want you to be my son. What happened? By becoming the mother of king, automatically she received everything. So therefore you can imagine, to become Krishna's devotee means what? You actually conquer Krishna. So Krishna does not want to be conquered by anybody and everybody. Therefore, Rupa Goswami explains, devotional service is not awarded by Lord very easily. He can give mukti. Therefore, in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is explained by Sukadeva Goswami to Parikshit Maharaj. This is when Parikshit Maharaj was hearing the description of the dynasty of the Priyavrat, King Priyavrat and Dhruva Maharaj, and then he was also talking about Bharat Maharaj. And all of these dynasties, the Supreme Personality of Godhead was appearing. He appeared in their families. So when Parikshit Maharaj heard this, he became a little discouraged. He said, what kind of devotee we are, especially I am, Parikshit was thinking, that the Supreme Lord appeared in their families. And what kind of devotees we are? Seeing Parikshit Maharaj's mood, Sukadeva Goswami said, my dear Parikshit, it is not like that. And Rupa Goswami quotes this as how bhakti is very rare. So Parikshit Maharaj was told by Sukadeva Goswami, Rajan Patir Gurur Alam Bhavatam Yadunam Daivam Priya Kulapati Kochaking Karova Ast Eva Angam Bhagavan Bhajatam Mukundo Muktim Dadati Karichit Svana Bhakti Yoga. He said, my dear Parikshit, you are so rare, such your position is so rare, that Krishna, who is Yadupati, he is the master of the Yadavas. What does he do? He is acting as your Kulapati. He has become master of your family. Not only that, he has become your kula devata. People have so many devatas. You know, my kula devata is, you know, some Mahesoba, some this and some that. They are proud of it. But here Sukadeva Goswami is saying, who is Pandava's kula devata? Krishna is their kula devata. Which is very rare that he is becoming kula devata of the Pandavas. And such Krishna, who does not, who awards mukti so easily, he does not award bhakti so easily, but he is becoming the family member of the Pandavas. He is carrying all of their orders. Therefore, your position is so great. Krishna has been conquered by your devotional service. So therefore, Rupa Goswami explains, this quality of the Lord is to be conquered by a devotee. He does not award it so easily. Only when we have rati, rati means intense attachment. Rupa Goswami explains in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavita Matihi Janma Koti Sukriti Na Labhyate Tatra Maulyam. When there is great longing, that is what you can purchase Krishna. Prabhupada explains that if you go to any shop, if devotional service is available, immediately buy it. Why? Because you don't get that commodity in any of the shops, even if you pay millions of dollars. What to speak of that Janma Koti Sukrutirna Labhyate? Simply because one is pious and is worshipping God. Yes, you can worship God, but there is still a distinction. A worshipper and person being worshipped, still the gap remains. The person who is being worshipped, he is awarding the result. Okay, you take. When we receive the benefits of our worship is cancelled. We think that, okay, you know, I am getting the benefits of performing devotional service. But what Krishna is doing, you know, is tricking us. If we are increasing our material prosperities, if we are becoming too famous, if we are becoming powerful, that is what we are getting by performing devotional service, except devotion. That is a very unfortunate condition. Sometimes those who practice devotional service for some years, and they give up devotional service, and you see, they materially become very prosperous. They become very powerful in certain aspects of their life. And they say also, this is only because I perform devotional service. But they fail to realize what Krishna does here is, that you have done devotional service, so I don't want any obligations from you. Therefore you take this. So that I don't want any obligation from you. But we feel that, just see, my devotional service is giving me so much of result. No. If Krishna is giving other than bhakti, that means what's happening here? That Krishna is keeping us away from his pure devotional service. Therefore, a devotee of the Lord, what does he say? Na dhanam, na janam, na sundari. He is not risking his devotional service by getting some material benefits. But when we become a devotee of the Lord, then what happens? A devotee has a rightful claim. Just like a son has a rightful claim over father's property. He doesn't have to fight for it. That is his rightful claim. Similarly, a devotee of the Lord in devotional service becomes a claimer of whatever Krishna has. Therefore, one has to be careful that is Krishna is providing me, you know, for my practice of devotional service some material benefits and keeping me away from his service. So therefore, bhakti in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the best example is of our Sudama Brahman. Now Sudama's only relationship with Krishna was what? Was of friendship. It is love. But on the insistence of his wife, he came to Dwarka. Why? Because the children were starving. And when he came to Dwarka, he could not ask. How can he ask Krishna? That will cause a problem in his relationship. In fact, he offered Krishna the dried chipped rice. And Krishna could not offer back to Sudama. He said, what can I offer Sudama? He said, his chipped rice is so great that I cannot reciprocate. That's how the Lord was thinking. And when Sudama was going back to his poverty-stricken home, he didn't think that my mission is not successful. That I offered Krishna chipped rice, but in turn he did not give me anything. Because he knew that when I go back to my wife, I will tell her that how can I ask anything from Krishna? He treated me so nicely, he gave me his devotional service. That is the highest attainment. And just see, and Sudama was quite conscious that I should not lose this. If he had received material benefit, he would have felt that, oh, Krishna, rather than giving me love, he gave me these things. And therefore, Sudama was saying, he said, who am I? I am the most fallen Brahman. Kwam daridra papiyan. Kwa Krishna Sri Niketana. He said, who is Krishna? He is the husband of Goddess of Fortune. I am the fallen, not even a proper Brahman, rather I am Brahma Bandhu. I am a fallen Brahman. But what is my good fortune? Bahubhyam Parirambita. He said, he embraced me. Again, that is the difference. When Vrakasur met Narad Muni, he said, whom should I worship? Krishna, Shiva or Brahma? Who will give me the benefits? He was not interested in getting their love, but he was rather interested in what they have. But Sudama was not like that. So even what Krishna gave to Sudama was not to avoid Sudama, that you take this for your service of giving me chipped rice. No, that was simply a reciprocation of love. Your love is so great that I cannot reciprocate even by giving the pleasures of the heavenly planet. Therefore, I am ashamed to give it to you directly. So my love is much insignificant than your love. So Sudama is a typical example. And how rare it is? Narad Muni is another example. That Narad Muni had no understanding of devotional service. He simply served those great devotees of the Lord, those who had come there in his mother's place. And by simply hearing about Krishna by these great devotees, he developed that desire to attain Krishna. And Krishna gave the glimpse, okay, take my devotional service. It was like a trailer. And again when Narad Muni insisted, Krishna said, no, you are not qualified. I just showed you this so that you can intensify your desire. So as long as that lavlyam is not there, even for ritualistic sadhana bhakti, one should know very clearly, there should not be a misunderstanding that I am practicing devotional service last 20 years. When we think like that, that itself we become disqualified to attain Krishna Prem. That I did so much of devotional service. Therefore, one should understand the science of bhakti. So how bhakti is attained? Only when there is a greed. But the greed does not come by sadhana bhakti. So our position is very tricky. But Rupa Goswami gives the assurance that we will discuss when we discuss about sadhana bhakti. Even though Rupa Goswami says sadhana bhakti does not give, all our acharyas say sadhana bhakti does not give bhakti. Sadhana bhakti can only give the fruits of going to the Vaikuntha planet. Sadhana bhakti can only give, like Prabhupada told one of his disciples, Jayanand Prabhu, when he departed this world, after rendering so much of service, devotees asked Prabhupada, where will he go? Prabhupada said, he will go to the heavenly planets for 10,000 years. He will enjoy, and all of his material contamination is over. He will come back, be born in a very nice family, and again continue to practice devotional service. You can imagine, one of his most prominent disciples, Prabhupada was talking like that. Again, after some time Prabhupada said, when he came to know that he was intensely chanting the holy name, holding Srila Prabhupada's tape to his chest, then he said, no, he has gone back to Krishna. But he gave this option also, that it is not simply because we chanted for some time we go back to Godhead. That is a good sentiment, but it is not a reality. Only when there is an intense desire, just like that lady could say no till evening, otherwise everybody was accepting everything what the king was giving. She had the intelligence. She said, no, what I want? You should become my son. And again, the Pandavas, Arjuna was also tested by the Lord. He said, I will not fight. I will not raise weapons. I will not do anything. If Krishna says to us, and he says, and another option is that, my army is there. One Akshohini of Narayani Sena, most powerful Sena in the entire creation. And that is what your requirement is. Therefore Arjuna had come. And what was Arjuna's? And Arjuna was given the first option. If Duryodhana would have given the first option, because he's not a devotee, he would say, no, what is the use of yours being with me? Better I get Akshohini Sena only. What Arjuna said? My dear Lord, I want you. Krishna said, no, better you take the Akshohini Sena. I said, no, I want you. Even if you don't fight, I don't care. But I want you as my master. Krishna tested Arjuna, therefore Krishna remained with Arjuna, and his shadow, his energy, which is useless without Krishna, went to Duryodhan. This is exactly the same principle where Arjuna applied, because he had love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore bhakti is so sudurlabh, so rare. Only when there is a asakti, and how that asakti can be developed within our consciousness when we don't have it, that we will discuss in our next class. Now we are just describing the characteristics of devotional service. Next. Sandrananda Visheshatma. Sandra means condense, plentiful or dense. Ananda means bliss. Vishesha means special. Atma means nature. The nature of this kind of devotional service is that it is unpenetrable. Sometimes if something penetrates, you know, we see even this Italian marble, when we had our holy festival, one drop of pink color, when it became wet and went inside the marble, we tried so much, there is a pink spot is there. All kind of chemicals were applied. That means even though this marble is there, it is penetrable. Something can penetrate into that marble. And with all kinds of chemical application, you cannot erase it. But this kind of bhakti, Sandrananda Visheshatma, nothing material can penetrate the bliss of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nothing can penetrate. Therefore it is very dense. So who can experience this? Rupa Goswami explains, this Sandrananda Visheshatma is at the level of prema bhakti, beyond bhava bhakti, wherein mukti and sense gratification, they have no existence. That means you are not aware of their existence. When you are so much involved in devotional service, just like one of our devotee, one who works in Navy, he was telling this story. During the Second World War, one Japanese soldier, he was fighting in Malaysia, and he was fighting in the jungles. And he was so intensely absorbed in fighting, you know, he was using the guerrilla tactics. He would sometime come in the towns and he would attack. And again he would go back. And in the army we know, following the orders of your superiors is considered as the highest. Even if you in your dream they tell you that, you know, you are not Mr. such and such person, you are such and such person, you have to believe that. So that is the, you know, submission. So this man was fighting with one platoon and all of his other members were killed. Only he survived. The Second World War was over. He continued to fight for many years, even though the World War was over. And the Malaysian army tried to capture him, but they could not capture him. He started making his own weapons in the jungle. He had no clothes. He started using the, you know, skins of the animals as his clothes. He lived for many years in that part of the world. And he would keep attacking. But when they told him, you know, the Second World War is over, he said, I don't accept. Only when my superior, when my boss will come and tell me, then only I will stop. And that to go back to Japan. And his boss had retired, he had become more than 80 years old, living a very, you know, carefree life in some part of Japan. He was called and he gave him the order, look, now the war is stopped. That was his absorption. Nothing could penetrate his desire to fight for his country. That means the absorption was so great. So this kind of absorption is experienced in devotional service when there is prema to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nothing can penetrate. That is called as Sandrananda, Visheshatma. At that stage, Rupa Goswami explains that mukti does have no existence. You don't even feel that mukti is existing. Material sense gratification does not trouble. In our stage, material sense gratification troubles us. But at that level, material sense gratification does not trouble. The difficulties of material world does not trouble. One is experiencing bliss of devotional service to such an extent that even the difficulties has no existence. So that is Sandrananda Visheshatma. Nothing can penetrate this kind of pleasure. Rupa Goswami elaborates this also in the future chapters.
Last one.
So we already discussed this. Shubhada, it is higher than sense gratification and mukti. Moksha lagatakrit, sense gratification and mukti become insignificant. Sandrananda, even the perception of sense gratification and mukti is destroyed. It has no existence. Next. Sri Krishna Karshani. Sometime, one who is supposed to conquer, in the material world, if you want to conquer somebody, you cannot be conquered. If you are conquered by others, you cannot conquer others. That is the principle. You can only conquer if you are not conquered. But here, an amazing concept Rupa Goswami presents, and the acharyas explain that it is not like the mundane concept where Krishna and the devotee are trying to conquer each other. Let us see who wins. Bhakti conquers Krishna, but at what stage? Only one who is conquered by Krishna can eligible to conquer Krishna. If you are not conquered by Krishna, it is not possible to conquer Krishna. And that is the difference between all other process and the process of bhakti. In the process of yoga, Ashtanga yoga, Jnana yoga, Karma yoga, you try to conquer Krishna without being conquered by Krishna. You keep your separate identity and practice the process of Jnana Marg or Karma Yog or Ashtanga Yog and you try to conquer Krishna. How can you do that? It is not possible. In Jnana Yoga, all the study of the scripture, where does it lead? We are reading the scriptures, we are trying to analyze. Okay, by study of my scripture, let me understand God. No, He cannot come within our grip. He always escapes from our grip. Therefore, Krishna Karshan is only possible in devotional service. Devotional service means you are attracted by Krishna. Because you are attracted by Krishna, you are doing devotional service. And when you do devotional service to Krishna, by your devotional service, Krishna is attracted. That is how the process of devotional service works. And Prabhupada explains, Krishna means all attractive. So one is attracted by Krishna, what does he do? He serves Krishna. Either indirectly or directly. Directly means through devotional service, or indirectly means serving his senses. But when you directly serve Krishna in devotional service, Krishna Manu attracts everybody, but bhakti is so great that bhakti attracts Krishna. Therefore, bhakti is called as even the attractor of Krishna. And Radharani is personification of that bhakti. One devotee was mentioning that Srimad Bhagavat represents Krishna. It is the personification of Krishna. Chaitanya Charitamrita is the personification of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is personification of Srimati Radharani. And what is her primary character? And that is the first verse of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Radha Prayan Vidur Jayati. Krishna is being conquered by Srimati Radharani. And that is the last character of devotional service, which attracts the Supreme Personality of Godhead to such an extent that Krishna becomes slave of his devotees. That is only possible at the stage of Prema Bhakti. Like Rupa Goswami quotes, before quoting the stories of the gopis, he gives the examples of the Pandavas. Again, the similar verse as which was quoted by Sukadeva Goswami to Parikshit Maharaj is there in the 7th canto. This verse explains, Yam Nruloke Bata Bhuri Bhaga. So the Lord explains, Narad Muni is explaining this verse, that there are so many devotees in this world, but not like you Pandavas. Why? Because most of these sages go to the jungle, you know, seeking the audience of the Lord. But that Lord is in your home. And what does he do? He had become a servant to your family. He is carrying out all of your orders. Therefore, you have conquered Krishna by your love, which is very, very rare. When all these sages go to the jungle looking for Krishna, but that Krishna is coming to your home for what? Because he has become slave of your love. This starts at this level, on the friendly level. In the Dasyaras, yes, one continues to serve Krishna, but on Sakya, Vatsalya and Madhurya Ras, Krishna becomes slave of his devotees. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Rupa Goswami, Srila Kaviraj Goswami explains, with ordinary devotees, Krishna's principle of Eyatha mam prapadyante tam satay vajamyam works. That as one approaches unto me, I reward accordingly. That Krishna has the ability to reciprocate according to our devotional service. You have done this much, I will award you this much. That means you have not conquered Krishna. Krishna is just giving you according to what you have done to him. But in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kaviraj Goswami explains that Krishna, with his loving devotees, cannot keep up this promise of Yayatha mam prapadyante tam satayva bhajamyaham. Why? Because love is so great that love conquers the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then the Lord says that you be satisfied with your own devotional service. Why? Because I have nothing to offer back for your devotional service. I have been conquered by you, therefore what can I offer? You be satisfied with your own devotional service. This Krishna told to the gopis. Na parayam. Again in the 10th canto it is said that there is no comparison to your devotional service. I cannot repay back. Whenever you repay back, that means you have the ability. When you cannot repay back, you have no ability. Therefore, the love is the commodity, not the knowledge. Therefore, Prabhupada said, our process is not to know Krishna. Very wonderful statement. Our process is not to know Krishna because you cannot know Krishna. Our process is to love Krishna. In loving Krishna, you also know Krishna. Because when you love Krishna, he is forced to reveal everything about himself. Why? Not out of the demand of a practitioner, but because Krishna becomes enslaved by the love of his devotee. Love is always greater than the person whom you love. you can conquer by the principle of love. Therefore, here the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is defying his own statement that I said this, but it is not correct towards my devotional service. I cannot repay back. Therefore, such devotional service, Prabhupada concludes in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, in this regard, God is great, but devotional service is greater than God, because it attracts Krishna. But those who are not in the domain of devotional service cannot understand this principle. Very wonderful statement. And Prabhupada concludes this chapter. And Srila Rupa Goswami, while concluding in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he makes a very important point. He said, what has been ascertained by reading all the scriptures, many shastras have been taken, many quotes have been taken from the scripture, and logically it has been presented. And one who reads them with a simple heart, then he can come to the platform of your devotional service. But one who applies the principle of logic, then he can actually dismantle all the logic presented by the previous logician and establish something else as a reality. But what that will do? That will not give love. So whatever Rupa Goswami is saying, if we accept with that simplicity, then devotional service becomes easier. But if you argue, like Acharya's quote, commentary on this verse, that one great logician, he explains that nobody can prove through logic their argument, because the next argumentative person will disprove the previous one and establish his argument. In this way, nothing can be properly conclusive. Only when we accept the words of the pure devotees and practice according to their statement, devotional service becomes very easy. That is the conclusion of this chapter. So, this is the end of the first wave of the eastern section of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Rupa Goswami describes the definition of pure devotional service. He describes the six characteristics of devotional service. He describes general devotional service. And the next wave, Rupa Goswami will continue to explain the principle of sadhana bhakti. And that we will discuss in our next class, which will be after Gaurang Prabhu's four classes, which is going to talk about the birth of Lord Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments?
Why do we find that these materialists, although there is all adverse condition in this age, so enthusiastic about material happiness, and we don't find, like, externally devotees are not found to be so enthusiastic, like they're chanting or they're like not always dancing, not always ecstatic. But when we go out and see the materialists, they are making big plans and they are so enthusiastic all around. So what is the reason for that?
Very clear, because that is our nature, to look for happiness. If you are not satisfied with Krishna, then you have to be satisfied with something. That is our, and a practicing devotee is like, his position is like Trishanku, Swarga. Vishwamitra created one heavenly planet. He could not send him back to the heavenly planets because he was not qualified. But he could not come back to earthly planets, so he was hanging upside down. So all practicing devotees are like that. You know, they have no shelter in the material world. They know because there is no pleasure here. But at the same time, they have not developed attraction for Krishna. So our position is hanging upside down. Therefore, we are more miserable species than the materialistic. So we experience greater pain by remaining on a neophyte condition. Therefore, Jesus Christ also made that statement, either be hot or cold, if you are lukewarm, I will spit at you. That was Jesus Christ, because he was giving pure devotional service. So similarly, a devotional service, if it is practiced on a very superficial level, it has to give misery, not happiness. And therefore, many people, those who are given up devotional service, what is their one argument? At least, you know, I was happy in the material world. Ignorance was bliss. After coming to devotional service, you know, the problem with devotees, association which is supposed to give happiness is giving more misery. Therefore, we prefer, at least there is some kind of happiness. So we go back. Therefore, why? Because that is our nature. Our nature is to be happy. If you are not happy in Krishna consciousness, then you have to look pleasure in the material world. There is no other choice. There is no in between. Therefore, one has to be convinced, at least on the intellectual platform, that I am happy. Not imagine that I am suffering. In the devotional principle. Therefore, many people, because that is our nature, anandamaya bhyashat, that you can't continue to live in Krishna consciousness and suffer. That is not our constitutional position. A living entity will run towards pleasure. That is a natural position. If you are not attracted to Krishna, you will be attracted to mundane sex pleasure. You will be attracted to, you know, why? You know, the temptation is there. Because, you know, cricket gives some kind of pleasure. Movies give some kind of pleasure. Because we are not attracted to Krishna's pleasure. So sadhana bhakti means we have to force ourselves to like Krishna. There is no choice. If you keep choice, even though we are suffering on a physical level because we have no natural attraction, at least on an intellectual level we have to convince ourselves that Krishna consciousness is only pleasure giving. So that is a very clear understanding, because that is our constitutional position, to be happy. If you are not happy with devotees, you have to be happy with materialistic. You have to assume at least you are happy. And therefore engage, again, breaking all the regulative principles. That leads to that only ultimately. Ultimately that leads to that. Or else, those who give up devotional service, they become part of the vegetarian society. They become very health conscious. They take pleasure in being very healthy. Why? Because they did not experience the pleasure of practicing devotional service. That is how it works. Because that is our constitutional position. We can't avoid it. Any other question?
Related to this, you had said in your lecture that if one gets the benefit of Krishna consciousness after he leaves, so it's like Krishna removes the obligation. But isn't it contradictory, because it's also said that if one does even little devotional service, he is guaranteed to come back to Krishna consciousness.
Is guaranteed to?
Come back to Krishna consciousness. But if he gets benefit and exhausts his credit which he earns, then how does it fit? Because it appears to be a contradiction.
No, your credit of practicing, wherever you have left, you can continue to practice. That is there. Like Prabhupada told Jayan and Prabhu, for whatever service he has done, only because he did that service, therefore he could go to heavenly planets. Otherwise, being born in that kind of country, you know, having such a bad background, does not give you heavenly planets. Only because some connection. So Krishna will provide that. But again, you have to continue to giving up that facilities and continue to practice devotional service. If you get attached to that and start enjoying, Krishna will always test. No, this is the understanding of many devotees. One senior devotee had told me this. Those who practice devotional service, you know, and gave up, Krishna gave them wealth, Krishna gave them prosperity. Everything was provided, but what?